Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. About 15 miles west of Woodland Park, Colorado, on Highway 24 is one of the really fascinating, underrated gems of the National Park System. It's the Florissant Fossil Beds National Monument. Have any of you been there before? Some of you, yeah, very good. I'd like to see more of those hands up, considering that it's only an hour and a half away from here. The Park Service describes the fossil beds as one of the richest and most diverse fossil deposits in the world. And, you know, it has insects and plant leaves and stuff like that. But the real appeal there is these petrified stumps of redwood trees. Petrified stumps of redwood trees. So you don't have to go all the way to Arizona to see the petrified national forest, right? You can see some right here in Colorado. And normally we think of redwood trees being out in California, right? But they once lived right here in Colorado. And one of them is like 14 feet across, quite the sight, and also not a very long hike from the visitor center. So if you're one of those people like me and Lisa, Rick and Christy that like to get your stamps and your national park passport, you should go and check it out. But as awesome as these petrified stumps are, they are, at the end of the day, dead trees. I mean, there's no foliage, there's no animals skittering up and down the trunk, except for maybe the occasional ground squirrel or something. But thousands of years ago, a mighty tree died, and all that remains is a stump that turned to stone, with the carbon fibers replaced by minerals. It never came back to life. All that's left of a once mighty redwood is a stump. And yet in our Old Testament reading today, the prophet Isaiah shows us something even more unsettling than a petrified stump from a redwood tree. He calls it the stump of Jesse. Who or what is Jesse? Well, I have a really nice explanation for you. Miss Kristen already gave her stump speech, and so now you get to hear mine. So Jesse was the father of King David, as we'll learn about in Bible class during our study of 1 Samuel. And through David, the son of Jesse, God established a dynasty, a royal family that ruled a united Israel for about 80 years and a divided kingdom, the southern kingdom of Judah, for several hundred years. And for hundreds of years, the throne passed down one king to the next in the family of David. And the name of this royal family was the House of Jesse. But by the time of Isaiah's prophecy, the family tree of Jesse and David was in ruin. Some of the Davidic kings, like Hezekiah, Josiah, were faithful rulers who loved God and heard his word and believed it and obeyed it and tried to lead the people of the nation in God's ways. But many, if not most, of the other kings were very evil and wicked kings. And kings like Ahaz and Manasseh, who even resorted to such awful things as child sacrifice. They oppressed the poor. They took bribes instead of giving justice. And so God decided to punish Judah for the crimes of the kings. You know, the old saying, as the king, so goes the kingdom. Have you ever heard that before? Well, not as much in America, right? Because we have a republic. We haven't done king for a while. But excuse me. But Isaiah saw the day when the Babylonians would come and they would destroy Jerusalem, totally desecrate the temple, lay the city walls into rubble. And the very last king of that Davidic line was Jehoiakim, who became a vassal to Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor. Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Zedekiah. You know, the name change is kind of like, I own you, fool. So I even name you. He renamed Jehoiakim Zedekiah. But Zedekiah, after a few years, got kind of puffed and prideful and thought, you know what? I think I can take Nebuchadnezzar on. And he rebelled and didn't send his taxes to Babylon. And so Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the city. And what he did to put an end to the royal family is, he gouged out Zedekiah's eyes. But the very last thing he did before he did that was kill his sons in front of him. So the very last thing that Zedekiah would see in his lifetime was the death of his sons. Now, some of the grandkids survived, but nobody kept track of them anymore. Nobody cared because the throne was gone. The kingdom was at an end. The house of Jesse was a stump. And what good is a stump? It's not good for anything. I mean, I guess you could sit on a stump, right? I mean, especially if you're a fan of The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. That's, you know, stumps make maybe a good seat. And they're also good for ruining your mower blade, as happened to us this summer while we were in Europe and my father-in-law put the mower deck too low. But I'm not bitter. He got us a better mower, so it's great. But the point is that stumps are worthless. And the stump of Jesse was a terrible end for a once mighty family tree that had been chopped down, cut down to size because of its wickedness. But a dead tree stump is also a good picture of our own spiritual condition before Christ came to dwell in our hearts. See, our hearts are hardened just like that petrified stump at Florissant Fossil Beds. But our hearts are hardened against God and his word and his ways even more than that rock, that stone. And so from birth, we rebel against God and his commands. We don't listen to what he has to say. We don't love our neighbor. We don't love God. Ever since Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, our hearts have been full of evil thoughts and desires. In Genesis 6, when God was preparing to send the flood, he said of humanity that our thoughts were only evil continually. Only evil continually. And things haven't gotten much better since then. You might say the apple hasn't fallen very far from the tree. And yet Isaiah does not leave us with a dismal view of the future. A dismal view of humanity, yes, but of the future, no. Because the focus of Isaiah 11 is not on the stump, but on the shoot. The shoot that comes and grows and starts to come out of that stump. Isaiah writes, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." David's family tree seemed to be at an end, but God can bring new life out of death. He can raise the body of his son after being in the grave for 3 days, and he could bring back David's family. The shoot or branch, that little sapling growing out of Jesse's stump, was another descendant of David. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, born in Bethlehem nearly 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy. At the end of Isaiah 11, in our reading day, we hear Jesus referred to also as the root of Jesse. Think about that. He's the root and the shoot of Jesse. If he's the root of Jesse, that means that Jesse's origin is ultimately in him. And remember that Jesus Christ, before the incarnation, was the eternal second person of the Trinity who created everything in the world so that all people, including Jesse, find their ultimate source in Christ for their life, the root of Jesse. And yet he's also the shoot of Jesse, coming much later because of the miracle of the incarnation and God entering into human flesh. how this can be is a marvel and a mystery. That the root and the shoot of Jesse is both David's son and David's Lord. And that's why in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, Matthew calls Jesus the son of David. Through the incarnation, God entered into human flesh and brought this family tree to life once again. Now, I cannot resist the opportunity to liken this to something that maybe you can understand a little better, which is the Lord of the Rings. Because remember that the kings of Gondor, right? Their line seemed to fade and die out after Isildur was betrayed by the One Ring, right? He got shot by the orcs, and he died. And they ferreted away his son, his grandson, to be raised in the wild in the north of the world. But nobody knew where he was. Nobody knew what his name was anymore. Nobody knew what had happened to the line of Isildur, the line of kings. But the people had hope always that maybe a king would return, and they were waiting for the return of the king, just like Israel. And then one day, Aragorn comes, right? The rightful heir to the throne, thousands of years later, unknown, rejected as just a wild ranger of the north. And what happened to that dead tree in Minas Tirith? It blossomed again at Aragorn's coming. It came back to life because the king had come. People forget that The Lord of the Rings is a very Christian novel at its core, with tons of great things and inspired from the Bible here. But let's get back to Jesus. Unlike his forebears, the faithless kings of Judah, Jesus was not born in sin. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon him. And Christ, unlike the rulers of our world or many of those wicked kings of Judah, did not oppress the poor and take bribes. Isaiah says he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor, to people like us who were dead in our sins and our trespasses, just stumps of what God had intended for us to be. But his word brought life. And unlike the lies and the empty promises that the rulers of this world speaks, Isaiah says that Jesus speaks only the word of truth. Verse 4 mentions the rod of his mouth, the breath of his lips. What comes out of Jesus' mouth? What passes his lips? His word of truth, his word of law, yes, but even more, his word of grace, his word of gospel and forgiveness and life. Isaiah tells us that Christ is clothed with righteousness as a belt around his waist and faithfulness as a belt for his loins. And he bequeaths to us this righteousness. He clothes us with his own righteousness in baptism or when we first come to hear and believe the gospel. But the world hated Jesus. And Satan could not stand for a branch, a righteous branch, a shoot and root from Jesse to come back to life. And so what did the world do? Well, it cut off that branch, right? It killed Jesus. It cut off that shoot. It took Jesus and nailed him to a cross, another dead tree. And they put a crown of thorns on his head, more dead wood. They put a placard above his head that said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Again, dead wood. And the Romans killed him. But it was our sin that laid him low. But death could not defeat Jesus, and the grave could not contain him. And even though that branch was cut off, even though we would see it as good for nothing but kindling for the fire anymore, 3 days, that branch came back to life, the righteous branch of David, the root and shoot of Jesse, came bursting out of the tomb, full of life, and bringing life and salvation to all who believe and hope in his name. And so the tree of the cross, which is no better than a stump, became a tree of life for all who believe in Christ, who look to the root and shoot of Jesse for their source of life. Jesus wants to give his life for you. The root and shoot of Jesse wants to be planted in your heart and to replace that rock-hard stump of sin and death and to give you life. And so, we pray the ancient song of Advent. Originally, I was going to say we sing the ancient prayer, but I can't really sing today. So, this is the fourth verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, free them from Satan's tyranny, that trust thy mighty power to save and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. In the name of Jesus, the son of Jesse. Amen.